Before I talk about some of the things we learned in Vacation Bible School, a week like this is a reminder to me that youth and children's ministry matters, because our children matter. I mean, and if that statement is true, then investing in them is without question, and I am thankful that we are committed to that investment. I mean, we could look at the history of the Protestant church over the past 30 years, and we could look back and say, well, most of us had more kids in the 70s and 80s, and it stands to reason we should spend less on youth and children because there's less children and youth. And it's an easy argument to make based on dollars and cents, but we don't hear. Nor should we, and here's why, and this is long-term thinking. The minute we stop investing in our children is the time that we have resigned ourselves that in 20 years we're going to close the church doors. Because our ministry with children and youth isn't about keeping kids busy. At its very core, it's evangelism. We are sharing our faith with our children. We continually work towards showing them that they are valued and loved, not only by God, but by us too. But it's also ministry and mission. We're in the passing down the faith business from Common Ground to Rock and Water to Vacation Bible School. We are literally forming relationships that will last forever. And that is not an overstatement. So what did we learn this week at Vacation Bible School? Well, lots of stuff. Now, if you didn't know, I try to do this every year, is to reflect a little bit on what we learned. And there, once a year, I ask for audience participation, since we're not prone to say amen like Baptists during a sermon. Today, I'm going to ask you to break some of those taboos. And so every day of the week, we had a catchphrase at Vacation Bible School, and the kids would always respond with the same words, follow him, and point to the sky. So at the very least, I'd ask you, when I give you the catchphrase of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, to at least say follow him, and if you're feeling particularly evangelical today, you can even point to the sky. I give you permission. That's good. Some of you, I know, you know, that's okay. So let's dig in. So on Monday, we learned that Jesus gives us hope. Good, good. You warmed my heart today. I was hoping the video of the kids' faces would do that to you. So, yeah. So, this is a message we all need to hear time and time again. This week, as if it's becoming regular, this week it was Nice, France. This week, it was the country of Turkey. I'm hoping I don't have to say now this week it's this. There's no doubt that we need hope. All of us, we need hope. And we're not going to find it out there. We're not going to find it in money. We're not going to find it in government or upcoming elections. We're not going to find it with a false sense of security that the problem is elsewhere. We cannot look to ourselves or our earning potential or our nest egg or our Second Amendment rights and say, I can take care of myself. I need something I can bank on. Something like that is like an anchor in the storms of life. Now, I'll just be blunt. If we haven't put it together yet, let me tell you, we are on a sinking ship. We can't patch the hole. We can't dry dock. But when we put our hope in these other things other than God, you still won't be able to fix the leak. The only person who can help us is the designer and the captain of the ship. And we all know what he says. He says, eventually the boat's going to sink. And if you know your scripture, that is exactly what Jesus says. But then again, he tells us not to fear because he is willing and more than able to get us to safety. I mean, speaking of scripture, we have it all in front of us. We know how the story ends. God wins. There are no surprises. We know that there are lifeboats ready for everyone. This isn't like the Titanic. There is plenty of room for everybody. I mean, even in the book of Matthew, who is talking to Jewish Christians, he says this. This is Matthew's commentary on Jesus from Isaiah. He says, in his name, in Jesus' name, the nations will put their hope. It's nothing else that we put our hope into. This lifeboat that Jesus provides isn't made of money. It isn't a political party. It isn't good deeds. It's not rules to follow. The lifeboat that Jesus provides looks an awful lot like a cross, where there's room for everyone. Because in the end, Jesus wins. And why wouldn't we want to put our hope in the last man standing? Because that's what Scripture tells us we'll be at the end, because we'll all be on our knees. We can put our hope in Jesus because everything else will be a disappointment. And faith in Christ tells us, even as the world is falling apart around us, He is holding our hand. So speaking of a broken world, we move to Tuesday and we learn that Jesus gives us courage.
Follow him.
That's right. Courage isn't about being arrogant. It isn't about being a bully in Jesus' name. It's about having the strength to move forward in a chaotic world. We heard the story of Jesus walking on water this morning just a little bit ago. And like all good stories, begins the way Snoopy used to get on his typewriter, right? It was a dark and stormy night. The disciples were trying to go on a mission trip. The wind and the waves were preventing this. Jesus decided to kind of come later. They didn't know how. Well, they found out soon when he was walking across the water. They think it's a ghost. They're terrified. The wind, the waves, the ghost. It was a dark and stormy night. It's a perfect horror movie. And Jesus says, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. What a great reminder. When circumstances are uncertain, things look dicey, we're afraid. Jesus says the same thing to us. Now, courage is an interesting word, by the way. It can mean a couple of things, including an idiom in ancient language that says to be deaf and blind to threats. Think about that. Jesus was telling them amidst the wind and the waves and the darkness, ignore it all and look to me. I mean, what good advice, right? I mean, when we let things drive our decisions, it's usually fear-based, right? We react to things. And yet Jesus shows up and tells them to hold their ground and be blind and deaf to the things going on around them, instead of being fearful. That's one of the things that courage means, but also courage in the ancient Greek could also be translated as to be of good cheer, which is a fancy way of saying be joyful. To be joyful in spite of external circumstances because Jesus is with us always, which is like really good news. And so Peter, you know how Peter is, he's like, well, prove that it's you, Jesus. And if it's you and not a ghost playing games with us, tell us to come out and meet you. Like, I'm not sure I'd, But what if it was a ghost playing games? You know what I'm saying? Like, okay. But anyways, Jesus says, come on out, the water's fine. It's perfect temperature, come on out. And he does. And he becomes aware of the wind and the waves, and Jesus sees that in Peter. And Peter becomes blind to Jesus and acutely aware of everything else that's going on, and he drops like a rock. And who is there to rescue him, of course, but Jesus. Even when we take our eyes off of him, guess what? He never stops watching over us. And I can't help but love how people look at this story. You know, they read this, and then Jesus rescues him, and then Jesus says to him, oh, ye of little faith. And we're all like, yeah, Peter, ye of little faith. You know, what's wrong with you? Yet there's 11 guys sitting in the boat twiddling their thumbs, right? Like, what about those guys? I think that's amazing. Jesus gave Peter the courage to get out of the boat, even though he failed. I think even Peter would be a perfect definition of what Luther calls sinning boldly. He was willing to get out of the boat even if it meant a faith crisis. So Jesus gives us hope and courage. And on Wednesday, we moved into Jesus gives us direction. Follow him. See, hope and courage are only good if we know where we're headed in life. Many of us use our map app to get where we need to go. And it's no fun missing a turn or getting lost. It gets frustrating. But when I am overconfident in my skills or my sense of direction, that's usually when I mess things up or get lost. There is no doubt that God gave us a brain to use, but not independently from the direction that Jesus gives. Now, here's the thing, as they go together, that discernment and wisdom come from using our brains to make sense of God's word in our lives. So it takes both. Do you know what scares me? This is what scares me. People who don't use their brains when reading the Bible and those who have no regard for the direction that God provides. Both of those extremes scare me. And here's why. In Ecclesiastes, King Solomon, the wisest king ever to live, gives both of those as extremes. One being overrighteous and the other one being a fool. And he says we would be best to avoid those extremes. So we learned this well-known verse in Vacation Bible School this week. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I don't know about you, but I need straighter paths in my life. There's enough twists and turns and ups and downs, most of my own making. When we are overconfident and think that we figured out life, that's when we get into trouble. Each day we had a little Bible buddy, little animal that lived in the cave to remind us of different things. And this day was a bat that used echolocation to help find their way in the dark. And God's word is our map to help us find our way in dark times. So hope, courage, direction. And then we got to Thursday and we see that Jesus gives us love. Follow him. Not only does Jesus love you, but he likes you too. That might be surprising to some of you, that he likes you as well. I mean, have you ever thought about the fact that you will be spending time talking to him face to face one day? Have you thought about that? Because this ain't a concept. It's not an idea. Jesus is a person. And Jesus calls us his friends, and friends talk. Now, today we do that by praying and reading the Bible. But one day we will talk with Jesus face to face, like we talk to each other over coffee. You should think about this, because you might have some questions that you might want to line up. I got a list of questions for Jesus. I do. I have a bunch of things that I want to ask him about. I think about that often. One of the questions I want to ask him, believe it or not, is which one was my best sermon? I want to ask him that, because it says where two or three are gathered in his name, I am there with them. So he's heard like 18 years already of preaching, right? So I'm just curious what he might say. No, I'm kidding. There's lots of things, though. And one day we will talk to him. And he gives us his love even now. And love is made real in action. Remember I told you love is an action word. It's not a feeling. Or not just a feeling, and that love is made real on the cross, and it's not about how good we are. He gave his life even when we were a mess. He gave us life and love when we were hopeless, full of fear, lost, and hateful and weak. And we are reminded that love looks like this, not that we love God, but that he loved us and that he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's out of 1 John chapter 4. So Jesus loves us when we are a mess, and then he cleans us up and he offers a better way of living. And this way of love that he offers is not based on behavior. I mean, this is good news, because most of our relationships are conditional. If you do something bad enough, it's going to break the relationship. But Jesus offers a love that is unconditional with a unconditional lifetime guarantee. That brings me joy when I think about it. So then we move to Friday, and we see that Jesus gives us his power. Follow him. I mean, we all want power for many different reasons in our life, but Jesus flips the script on power. And this is what he says: whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good would it be for a man or a human if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? I mean, he's talking about power here. If you get everything but lose your soul, what good is that? So Jesus reminds us that when he gives power, it is to do his will, and it's not for world domination. So I apologize to all the evil, genius, mad scientists bent on world domination in the room, but that's not how it works. Power is given to those who want to make a difference. So speaking of power, do you know where I saw power at work this week? With this amazing team of teens and adults who were serving, who were leading these kids to have fun and to grow in their faith this week. If you had something to do with Vacation Bible School, I want you to raise your hand right now. If you had something to do, if you were helping, we got a handful of folks here. They were the ones who helped make this happen. And I thank you guys for making this happen. So that's where I saw power at work, was in these people and a whole host of others. And so to sum it up, that is what I learned in Vacation Bible School this week. Amen.